Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, brewing and barrel aging craft beer since 1988. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
This is Sound Opinions, and coming up, Greg, we are going to tackle a stack of new spring releases. But first, I really want to talk about Rosie Hamlin, who died on March 30th at the age of 71. Who was Rosie Hamlin? Well, you have to think Rosie and the Originals. One of the most famous bands in rock history that made a huge splash and then disappeared forever. The story is fascinating. Rosie was a 14-year-old girl, Mexican-American heritage, growing up in Southern California in the early 60s, who loved music and had this incredible, pure voice, an amazing mix of naivete and sensuality. She wrote a tune called Angel Baby that was inspired partly by the Penguins' Earth Angel and partly by her love for her first boyfriend. She got a couple of fellow high school students from San Diego to play instruments. They recorded this single, and she would go down to the local Kresge's department store in San Diego and hand sell the 45s until a label thought, there's something here. Highland Records picked it up. It comes out. It becomes a huge hit in those weird days of early rock and roll. DJ Alan Freed was playing it a whole bunch of times a day. It becomes a smash hit nationwide. She never got credit for writing the song from Highland, so there was a big legal dispute. She split, made one more album with the man who would become her husband, and then disappeared from rock forever. When I say one of the most famous bands you've never heard of, right? John Lennon covered Angel Baby for the rock and roll album. Was left off the first edition, but it's on all the reissues. Jamaica, that weird attempt by Led Zeppelin to do a reggae song. Mm-hmm. Robert Plant asked the question, whatever happened to Rosie and the Originals, right? Rocky Erickson covered her, but so did Linda Ronstadt, and so did System of a Down. What do those three bands have in common besides a love for Rosie and the Originals? But I have to say, I fell in love with her in the early 80s when Lou Reed kept talking about her as a major influence on rock and roll heart. Lou Reed loved doo-wop, and I think Rosie and the Originals split the difference between doo-wop and that effervescent early 60s Phil Spector girl group sound. I think we should mark her passing at age 71, and there's only one way to really do it. Here is Angel Baby by Rosie and the Originals on Sound Opinions.
It's just like
that is the immortal Angel Baby, a top hit in the fall of 1960 by Rosie and the Originals, in tribute, Greg, to Rosie Hamlin, dead at the age of 71.
Next up on Sound Opinions, we've got a bunch of new albums that we need to catch up with, significant new releases that came out in the last few weeks. Our first band up is Spoon.
That is a little bit of Hot Thoughts, the opening track and title track of the new album, the ninth studio album by the Texas band Spoon. Greg, Spoon's history is now fairly extensive. Ever since in Austin, singer-guitarist Britt Daniel came together with one of my favorite drummers in rock, and he has one of the greatest names, Jim Eno. Those guys first hooked up in the early 90s and made a series of EPs. A brief foray in the late 90s, 1998 to be specific, with Elektra Records and those sad dying days of the alternative movement when major labels were still signing up bands, letting them have one record and then dropping them. That's what happened to Spoon. But Spoon began a long and lucrative relationship with Matador Records and put out several of what many people consider the early 2000s strongest independent rock records, Girls Can Tell, Kill the Moonlight, Gimme Fiction. Subtle variations of that sound ever since. The eighth album, they went up to upstate New York and began recording with Dave Fridman, noted producer of Mercury Rev and the Flaming Lips. For album number nine, Hot Thoughts, they are once again working with Fridman. Let's hear a track from Spoon's Hot Thoughts, and we'll come back and give our reviews and rate it on the Buy It, Try It, Trash It scale. This is Spoon with First Caress on Sound Opinions.
That is First Caress from the new Spoon album, Hot Thoughts. You know, Jim, I don't think anybody would ever think of Spoon as a dance band, but you got the groove all over this record.
That's,
you know?
Mr. Eno, Jim Eno on the drums. He's the master of the groove.
And I don't think it's coming out of nowhere. I mean, I think the band has been building up to this moment for a long time. They've always been about leaving stuff out and cutting songs down to their essence. In this particular record, everything's a percussion instrument. You know, those guitar riffs, those little bells and hand claps, you know, even the way Britt Daniels enunciating some of the words, very rhythmic kind of accents and the way he's approaching the vocals. And there's some cool string parts in this record as well. So what I'm thinking of is kind of like this murky disco record, like a subterranean disco record. You know, it's like the lights are kind of half lit. It's kind of moody and eerie. You know,
Disco in the sense that LCD sound system is disco.
It's a very cool kind of underground vibe. You know, if this album were side one and side two, and I know Spoon is thinking along these lines, it's not just, you know, a CD or a playlist that they're creating, but they're creating an album. Each side ends with a kind of a weirdo song. The dub-like pink up ends what would be side one if you're playing it on vinyl. And then there's this saxophone track, Us, that ends side two. And before that, they are preceded by these kind of very minimalist electro groove kind of moments. And at first I'm thinking, this is kind of a weird Spoon record. And then I went back and started listening to some of the earlier stuff. And I go, you know, there have been elements of this in all of their previous records. And they've been building up to this moment where they said, screw it, we're just going to make an entire record of these kind of grooves. I did a 180 on this record. My initial take on it was, I'm not loving this so much. By the time a week had gone by and I'd been listening to it pretty continuously, I go, this is a great Spoon record. It's a buy it for me.
It's all about where you first listened to it. We had a couple of Sound Opinions events last week that required long stretches on I-90 in Chicago,
right?
And I was just listening to it nonstop in the car, and it was perfect
right,
for that.
Right.
I think, talk about gratuitous. I always have to say Jim Eno's name as many times as possible because I just love his name and I love his drumming. He is incredibly inventive and he is really the leader. You know, Britt Daniels is the pretty boy up front, and he gets all the credit and makes everybody's heart swoon. But Jim Eno pushes this band. The other thing I have to gratuitously insert is that nobody in rock history this side of Wire, the innovative art punks from the UK, have done consistently so much with so little. Mm-hmm. You ain't kidding when you say it's about leaving things out. And it's also about there are about five good spoon tricks. And they shuffle the deck and how they continually come up with bold new statements using those minimalist ingredients, it never ceases to amaze me. And also, you know, Daniel's lyrics are often very telegraphed. You know, they're like sort of haiku lines taken from different haikus, and you don't even quite know what he's saying, and yet it never fails to grip me. So absolutely, also an enthusiastic buy it for me.
You're listening to a track called Whiteout Conditions from the new Pornographers album, Whiteout Conditions. That is the title track from the seventh studio album from this Vancouver-based band. Actually, no longer based in Vancouver because they're scattered all over the country, but originally from that British Columbia city in the late 90s. They've been together for two decades now. As I said, it started out as sort of a collective of artists from Vancouver. A.C. Newman, ostensibly the leader in the group, but there was also a young woman named Nico Case in the band at the time. Nobody knew who she was. And another guy named Dan Behar, who nobody knew who he was at the time. And of course, Case and Behar ended up being solo stars in their own right. They are still major contributors to the new Pornographers over the years. Although, significantly, Behar is not on this particular record. He was making his own solo project, so he was unable to contribute to the songwriting. So that leaves Newman as the primary songwriter on this record. This is a little bit of a left turn. We're going to talk about it in a second, but let's play a track from Whiteout Conditions first. It's called High Ticket Attractions from the new Pornographers on Sound Opinions.
That is High Ticket Attractions from the seventh studio album by the new Pornographers. Greg, I feel as if I'm about to kick a puppy. Who doesn't like puppies? Everybody likes puppies, right? Even if you don't want to take one home and clean up after it. I'm bored with the new Pornographers. I'm done. I'm tired. I gave this album eight listens. I mentioned that specifically because that's a lot of time spent waiting for this record to kick in, and it never did. I'm not a huge fan of Dan Behar. His tracks on new Pornographer albums came as like the detour, intermission, you know, change of subject. Carl Newman is a great songwriter, great power pop songwriter. It doesn't bother me, that Whiteout Conditions is more about synthesizers and keyboard textures than it is guitar. It just bothers me that I feel like I've heard every trick Carl Newman has to give me before. The joys in this album come in listening to Catherine Calder, who is every bit as great a vocalist as Nico Case, and that's really saying something. I love those two voices. I think that's phenomenal. I really liked Brill Bruisers in 2014. Dancehall Domine was like my favorite song that year. I kept waiting for a Dancehall Domine on this album. There isn't one. There are some perfectly fine, catchy ditties. You know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And boy, is that damning with faint praise. We have not made the mistake of calling New Pornographers a supergroup. There are several celebrated names that contribute, but it's always been Newman's band, augmented by very talented friends. I just think he's running kind of on fumes, and we've heard his songs before, and it's time to mix it up. I'm out of trash it. I'm not going to go back and play this record ever again.
Wow, that's a little harsh. I think it's a little bit better than that, although I would agree with you in that there's a sense of, you know, they've tried a lot of things. They're searching for the next thing to go on to, and he's making an attempt here.
They're not searching as hard as Spoon.
Well, I think one of the issues with the previous New Pornographers records was this incredible sense of variety. Like, there was the Dan song, there was the Nico song, there was the A.C. Newman song, and there was sort of like this rotating cast of vocalists, almost like an all-star cast with an individual sound for each one of those songs. Here, it's more homogenized, and I think that's probably the issue that you may be having with it, is that there is more of a seamlessness about this record, and that variety isn't there. Part of the seamlessness is that, you know, he went all in on these electronic sequencers. You know, these arpeggiators are all over this record. They're driving the rhythms. Makes a lot of their previous records sound like almost slow motion. And these were exuberant records they were making earlier. But
they
these
made
are,
power pop anthems.
They're like 5 to 10 BPMs, you know, faster than all their previous stuff.
Look at
records.
You getting all EDM over there.
Well, you know, it's interesting because here's Spoon kind of moving in this direction. And now you see the New Pornographers very much embracing these electronic instruments on this record. But the problem is that you do lack that variety in the songwriting. I think that the song that we just played, High Ticket Attractions, is a very catchy pop song. But I think the rest of the record does fall into that category where it does feel a little too homogenized. Unlike you, I did appreciate Behar's contribution immensely. I think this record cries out for something like Myriad Harbor or War on the East Coast, his great contributions to previous New Pornographers records that sort of set them apart. He's not here anymore, and I think the record suffers because of it. So it's a try-it record for me.
All right, Craig, after the break, we'll be back with more reviews of big spring releases, and we'll hear from the Scottish duo Honeyblood. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.